So heavy storms delayed the Masters start by 2.5 hours yesterday, but round one eventually got underway. And Bryson DeChambeau, a LIV guy, is in the lead at 7 under. And right behind him is world number one, Scottie Scheffler. And you know they say you can't lose the Masters on Thursday. You can't win it, but you can lose it. Well, Woods did not lose it. He's 1 under through 13 holes. He has to finish up his first round later on this morning. Let's bring in Bob Herrig, golf writer for Sports Illustrated and author of Drive, The Last Legacy of Tiger Woods. So I want to get into your book, Bob, but first let's talk about current Tiger Woods. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Good. So I thought he looked pretty good. There wasn't a lot of limping. He's 1 under. He still has some holes to play this first round, but as of right now, he would make a projected cut.
Right. Yeah. He looked really good, I thought. I think better than people expected. And, you know, it was windy yesterday. It was not easy out there. It was vintage Tiger. You know, obviously some guys shot some low scores, but when he teed off, the conditions were a lot tougher. And I thought he handled it well. And you're right, he looked good walking. Big test today, though. You know, now he's got to play 23 holes. Not a lot of time in between finishing the first round and starting the second. And, you know, that's sort of the thing Tiger didn't want. But he's positioned himself okay. He got through the tough holes on the back nine. And he's got a birdie hole starting out this morning. And we'll see if he can get it in. It would be nice if he could get it in and be 2 under par to finish the round. That would set him up nicely to try to make the cut playing later in the morning.
Just give us some greater detail on the conditions. I mean, there's no question that Bryson probably benefited from getting out early. But, I mean, Scheffler was a little bit further behind other guys, and yet we saw some pretty good scores. But just give us a sense of what that wind was doing.
Yeah, I mean, the conditions were softened because of the rain that they had. So that was where they got a little bit of a break. But that wind was tricky. You know, even Bryson had some of it to deal with. It wasn't easy for him either. He just played great. You know, he hit it really solid. He was great off the tee. He was great off the tee here, unlike how he's been in previous years. It's surprising how much Bryson has struggled at this course that, you know, at one time he thought he should dominate.
How much did that change in his mindset determine his score yesterday? Because I think that hubris led to his failure last year.
Yeah, I mean, it was 4 years ago when he was coming off his U.S. Open win where he said par should be 67 for him. And he matched that score one time in all that yeah. time. And it was, he admitted yesterday that was not a wise thing to say. It came back to bite him a little bit. I think he realized that it's a little bit harder around here than he was leading us to believe.
Yeah.
And that was a great score for him yesterday, though. That was, I think maybe he might have broke through a barrier there a little bit. I mean, doesn't mean it's going to be easy for him the rest of the way, but it should help.
What about the pressure on Scottie Scheffler? Like, he had the shortest odds since Tiger, years back, but he certainly didn't seem to feel that pressure.
No, he doesn't. This is what he keeps doing. This is what he has been doing for, you know, the better part of 2 years. He's Rory really summed it up nicely afterward. He said, you know, he just goes along and he doesn't make any bogeys. He makes it look easy.
Well,
and all of a sudden you look up, he's 6 under.
He's in the bunker off the back of 12. That's one of the most dangerous spots on the course, and he dunks it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that doesn't hurt, obviously. Good fortune goes a long way, too. I mean, I think everybody who wins has a little bit of good luck involved, too. You need a break here and there. You know, I mean, obviously, you're in that position. You could hit it in the water from back there. And, you know, to get it to go in is not something anybody's expecting.
Just talk about the Masters in general. I mean, some people are brought to tears thinking about the Masters. It's, for golf fans, the most fun tournament to watch on TV. The legacy just continues, and people want to be there. They want to win. They want to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's one of those places where buildup can be a little bit dangerous. Like maybe it gets overhyped and yet you come here and it's not that way at all. Like it exceeds your expectations. That's kind of rare. You know, usually we're let down by things we build up too much. And this place is different that way. And, you know, I think just the fact that it's at the same place every year, the tradition, there's a long time between major championships from the last one to the first. It, you know, it just sort of it builds up. You know, we start talking about the Masters in January, mm-hmm. and all those things lead to a pretty special event. And we're looking like a really good one this weekend. And got the bad weather out of the way. Luckily, it wasn't as bad as they thought. It was supposed to be way worse. They should be able to get back on track here by tomorrow morning, and then we're set up for a nice weather weekend.
Your book, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, we're watching the legacy still being written. Yesterday, he seemed to dial it back a little bit. There was a limited amount of risk-taking, and even when he got into trouble, even though he hasn't been in a competitive environment and isn't necessarily razor-sharp, he found a way not to end up over par. That is the brilliance of Tiger Woods.
Yep, I think you said it. That's it. There's a resiliency and a willpower in Tiger that's just sort of just it's something that most of us just don't have, you know. And it's an extra thing that he possesses, I think, that helped him win all the tournaments he's won, because obviously he's got great skills and he showed some of them yesterday. I mean, some of those short game shots for a guy who's not been playing much,
yes,
were really impressive. And that was the thing I feared for him, was that he wouldn't be sharp around the greens. You're going to miss greens. It's inevitable. And yet, you know, he got it up and down on 10 out of a bunker, a great pitch shot on 11, a really good shot from back of the 12th green. I mean, that could have easily been three bogeys and it was three pars. You know, so Tiger, this is what he's done his whole career. That's sort of the point of the book. It's more than just the skill. He's always found a way. He digs down and pushes through, which is, he wouldn't have won as much as he has without that quality.
Well, he found a way in 2019. If he could find a way again, that would be amazing. And how do people get your book?
Yeah, probably the best way is through Amazon. You can order it there, and it'll be at your house the next day, most likely. And it's also available at Barnes & Noble and Target and Books A Million and pretty much anywhere you find a book these days. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
So the first round resumes at 7:50, and then the second round begins shortly after that. You can't predict anything just yet, but you are thinking that Woods will stay under control here to finish up round one. That's your prediction.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what kind of wind he faces on 15. That's a birdie hole. You know, he wasn't able to birdie 13, unfortunately. He didn't hit a good drive.
No.
You know, and he's only made two birdies, but he's only made one bogey. You know, and 15 and 16 are holes that are possibilities for birdies for him. And it would be nice if he could get one and get to two under par and then get it in. His next tee time is at 10:18. You know, he should have about 30 to 45 minutes between. It's going to be a long day. But you know, the physical part of it is, I think, the issue here. You know, can he weather through all of that and stay strong for the second round?
Well, and mentally, it would have been a lot harder had he not gotten through Amen Corner, right? The fact that he got through that before the round ended yesterday was significant.
Before it got too
dark.
No
question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, it's a little cooler. It'll be cooler this morning. You know, you don't want to be standing on the 12th tee, 55 degrees and the wind blowing.
No.
So, you know, it wasn't easy yesterday. That wind was treacherous when he got there.
I'll tell you, the barometer of the wind was Jason Day's parachute pants. You could see how windy it was.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. What a fashion statement.
Your granular analysis, you just took a whole new level.
Bob Herrick, golf writer for Sports Illustrated, author of this new book, Drive, The Last Legacy of Tiger Woods. Thanks for joining us this morning. I cannot wait to watch this weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Have
Take
a good
care.
Day.
And remember to write about the Edmonds Pant Index.
That's Did you see those pants? Google the pants if you haven't seen them. All right, coming up, Dan Gilbert's Hudson Site Development downtown. We're looking at it. It's reached its full height. We'll talk about it next.